Welcome back to Read This Next with Laura and Nicole from the Thunder Bay Public Library. This week we are doing a best of 2021 so far.
So far. So what this means is usually mid-year, different websites, magazines, they'll start doing their best of year so far lists. So we have some picks from I think Time Magazine, some from Vogue, some from Chapters and Amazon, and other just different sources when I went around to find some best ofs. And so these are titles that some of them have appeared on multiple lists. Mm-hmm. Some of them were just really well-reviewed ones. Basically, kind of wanted to highlight some of the interesting things that have come out in 2021 that the people who know have been talking about. Yeah, so if that you can know. And you can place holds on them. And we tried to do a real mix of types. So a fun mixture. You may find, listen along, and you'll find something you like.
Absolutely. It's hard not to with these. All right, so I'm going to start us off with, let me scroll up to the top again. I am far too low. Okay.
Beautiful cover.
I know, it's gorgeous. So this is Witches Steeped in Gold by, I think it's Cianan Smart. I think so.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at you instead of the page, so I'm not sure. That's yes, okay. I would say Sienna and Smart.
I almost said cinnamon, but then I realized there's no M in there. the cover is absolutely gorgeous. Okay. Divided by their order, united by their vengeance, Irea has spent her life in a cell, but every day brings her closer to freedom and vengeance. Jasmine is the queen's daughter, but unlike her sister before her, she has no intention of dying to strengthen her mother's power. Sworn enemies, these two witches enter a precarious alliance to take down a mutual threat. But power is intoxicating, revenge is a bloody pursuit, and nothing is certain, except the lengths they will go to win this game. This Jamaican-inspired fantasy debut about two enemy witches who must enter into a deadly alliance to take down a common enemy has the twisted cat and mouse of killing Eve with the richly imagined fantasy world of Fury Born and Ember in the Ashes.
Yeah! Witches. Now, if you're new, then you should know that Nicole likes witch books. So I thought of you, and it sounds great.
Yeah, and anytime it's not like American tradition, it's 10 times cooler because it's always, well, most of the time it's more unexpected because it doesn't usually follow the same tropes and standards that they all do. So you're like,
exactly,
what's going to happen?
Sounds great. I think, and it's also the first book in a series.
Yes.
So if you enjoy, there will be more.
Mm-hmm. I saw that one on a bunch of lists. Like I looked at the ones you sent me and it was all over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Good stuff.
Okay. Next one. Now this is a totally, totally different sort of book and a totally different sort of cover. Mm-hmm. It looks like a magazine or like a catalog or
no,
something.
It's an Instagram.
Oh my gosh, you're right. It's an Instagram square.
I was like, that's definitely an Instagram photo.
It's an Instagram square. I was looking at like just the bottom.
Yeah.
Instead of the whole thing. Would you believe I used to do a lot of our social media?
Oh, no.
Anyway, okay. This book is called The Atmospherians by Alex McElroy. A dazzling, says one blurb, and brilliantly satirical debut novel. Another debut. Hadn't done that on purpose, but interesting. For fans of Woman Talking and Red Clocks, about two best friends, a disgraced influencer and a struggling actor who form The Atmosphere, a cult designed to reform problematic men.
Oh.
Sasha Marcus was once the epitome of contemporary success, an internet sensation, social media darling, and a creator of a high-profile wellness brand for women. But a confrontation with an abusive troll has taken a horrifying turn, and now she's at rock bottom, canceled and doxxed online, fired from her waitress job, and fortressed in her apartment while men's rights protesters rage outside. All that once glittered now condemns. Sasha confides in her oldest childhood friend, Dyson, a failed actor with a history of body issues, who hatches a plan for Sasha to restore her reputation by becoming the face of his new business venture, The Atmosphere, a rehabilitation community for men. Based in an abandoned summer camp and billed as a workshop for job training, it is actually a rigorous program designed to rid men of their toxic masculinity and heal them physically, emotionally, and socially. Sasha has little choice but to accept. But what horrors await her as the resident female leader of a crew of washed-up, desperate men? And what exactly does Dyson want? Explosive and wickedly funny, this fight club for the millennial generation peers straight into the heart of wellness and wokeness, self-mythology and self-awareness by asking what happens when we become addicted to the performance of ourselves.
Wow, very current. That's super cool.
Yeah. It digs into a lot of stuff. Weird and interesting, like, references to other books, like Fight Club, okay. Women Talking, they don't list the author, but I'm assuming they're talking about Miriam Tao's Women Talking, which is, like, the whole book is literally just women talking about, like, their community and interactions with men.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really good. But, you know, not what I would have thought would be similar, but I guess the same analysis of how we live and anyway,
communities.
Sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, very. I'm very curious I'm just very curious. It sounds like it's going to analyze a lot of really interesting topics and also be very self-aware of the topics it's analyzing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, cult books, I'm into that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that one sounds really cool.
Yeah. Okay, next one is yours.
Okay, this one is Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley, and the cover is, again, gorgeous. It looks like a butterfly, but it's two presumably daughters facing each other. And I will say, I think we have this one on Cloud Library, but we are getting it at the actual library because I was like, how do we not have this yet? Sent it off to one of our librarians. It was like, can we get this? So it's on its way.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was like, there's only four new books for our... so we have the Indigenous Knowledge Center collection and it has young adult books in it and not very many IKC YA come out. And I was like, how have we only had three in the last 2 years? So I started looking for new ones and this is one of them. So I'm really excited. Okay, here we go. As a biracial, unenrolled tribal member and the product of a scandal, 18-year-old Donis Fontaine has never quite fit in, both in her hometown and on the Nero Ojibwe reservation. Donis dreams of studying medicine, but when her family is struck by tragedy, she puts her future on hold to care for her fragile mother. The only bright spot is meeting Jamie, the charming new recruit on her brother Levi's hockey team. Yet even as Donis falls for Jamie, certain details don't add up and she senses the dashing hockey star is hiding something. Everything comes to light when Donis witnesses a shocking murder, thrusting her into the heart of a criminal investigation. That's not good.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
No, not from a hockey kid. Reluctantly, Donis agrees to go undercover, but secretly pursues her own investigation, tracking down the criminals with her knowledge of chemistry and traditional medicine. But the deceptions and deaths keep piling up, and soon the threat strikes too close to home. Now Donis must learn what it means to be a strong Anishinaabe Kwe, Ojibwe woman, and now... and how far she'll go to protect her community, even if it tears apart the only world she's ever known. And this is another debut author. Wow.
Wow. Another debut author. Good sounding mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would fit in kind of with last week. We did a mysteries episode, which you can check out. But this would fit in well there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very so, along the lines of like, I think we mentioned this last week too. There was that one that was like a medieval story and she was just like, I'm going to find my missing handmaiden. This is along the same lines where it's just like, and I've never had experience with investigation, but I'm going to go find out what happened. Love that.
Some people just have a natural knack for it. What can I say? You know, the book we're talking about from last week was Carolina and the torn curtain.
Torn curtain,
The
yeah.
torn, the torn curtain.
The torn
I can say it. It's
curtain.
fine.
Marriage.
Okay. I don't know that I'm going to keep scrolling down because I don't think that one's supposed to be here.
I put it in because we were talking about ones that have made a whole bunch of lists, but we don't need to talk about it because we've done it. I think we did it at the
That's not from this year, though, is it?
I don't remember. Just skip it.
Okay. Okay. So our next one is a very, I feel like this one's going to be a bit of, well, it's probably going to be a real heartbreaker, just telling you up front. Okay. So it's called The Prophets. It's by Robert Jones Jr., a novel about the forbidden union between two enslaved young men on a deep South plantation, the refuge they find in each other, and a betrayal that threatens their existence. Isaiah was Samuel's and Samuel was Isaiah's. That was the way it was since the beginning, and the way it was to be until the end. In the barn, they tended to the animals, but also to each other, transforming the hollowed-out shed into a place of human refuge, a source of intimacy and hope in a world ruled by vicious masters. But when an older man, a fellow slave, seeks to gain favor by preaching the master's gospel on the plantation, the enslaved begin to turn on their own. Isaiah and Samuel's love, which was once so simple, is seen as sinful and a clear danger to the plantation's harmony. With a lyricism reminiscent of Toni Morrison, Robert Jones Jr. fiercely summons the voices of slaver and the enslaved alike to tell the story of these two men, from Amos the preacher to the calculating slave master himself, to the long line of women that surround them, women who have carried the soul of the plantation on their shoulders. As tensions build and the weight of centuries of ancestors and future generations to come culminate in a climactic reckoning, the prophets masterfully reveals the pain and suffering of inheritance, but is also shot through with hope, beauty, and truth, portraying the enormous heroic power of love.
Wow, that does sound like it'll be heavy, but also very. It sounds like it'll be a tearjerker that you're going to be like, I'm glad I read it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. An interesting, I mean, I feel like I haven't come across that particular kind of love story before, that broad setting for a love story. I'm very curious to check it out. It appeared on quite a few lists as well.
Yeah, the cover is also very pretty. I mean, I think part of the reason they become so popular is their covers because people do still judge books by covers, and this one feels very appropriate for the title. It just looks it feels like it suits the description, you
Yeah.
know?
Yep. As I was reading that, I was thinking to myself, boy, this is one of the few times that I'm actually reading like a description like totally straight. Normally, when I'm reading one of the descriptions, I'm always like a little jokey on some of the parts, but that's like an actual serious literary book. I think I would personally get a lot out of it. I think lots of other people would too.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. The next one, I thought we talked about this one.
Don't think so.
Okay,
There've
well.
been quite a few. There's a bunch of like library,
What was the
magic library
one?
books.
Yeah, so I'll tell you the title first for those who are listening. The title is The Library of the Dead by T.L. Hoochoo.
Think
And
so.
my question is, didn't we do one that was like this lady who checked out books of dead people?
Yes, that's a different book.
It's a different book. So we've got the
Oh,
Midnight
yes.
Library, we've got the Library of the Dead, and now we have, what was the
That
other
one.
one?
I don't remember its name, but it was definitely different. And it was adult, and this one is YA. Oh, that
Oh.
was A Borrowed Man, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds right. Okay, cool. So if you're looking for more library books, library books, there you
Library,
go.
library books. We should do like, I mean, well, we've talked about a bunch of them already, but like you could do a show on just on library
We
books.
should. Next season. Okay, so this is The Library of the Dead, which is a series called Edinburgh Nights. Okay, I'm gonna skip that paragraph. When a child goes missing in Edinburgh's darkest streets, young Ropa investigates. She'll need to call on Zimbabwean magic as well as her Scottish pragmatism to hunt down clues. I love it already.
Right. I thought you would. Keep going.
But as shadows lengthen, will the hunter become the hunted? When ghosts talk, she will listen. Ropa dropped out of school to become a ghost stalker. Oh, I scrolled down too far. Here we go. Now she speaks to Edinburgh's dead, carrying messages to the living. A girl's gotta earn a living, and it seems harmless enough. Until, that is, the dead whisperer that someone's bewitching children, leaving them husks, empty of joy and life. It's on Ropa's patch, so she feels honor-bound to investigate. But what she learns will change her world. She'll dice with death, not part of her life plan, discovering an occult library and a taste for hidden magic. She'll also experience dark times, for Edinburgh's hides a... I am messing up all the S's today. For Edinburgh hides a wealth of secrets, and Ropa's gonna hunt them all down. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Love it. And another one where they're like trying to solve mysteries. It's great. And it's a little paranormal. Wow.
Yes. Well, definitely. Which, you know, we've got an interesting intersection of, what was it? Zimbabwean magic?
And Scotland. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Liked it a lot. Also, what's on your to read list already, actually?
It was.
I mean, I don't know how long it had been there, but.
Probably. Since the beginning of the year, I forget about my to read list, and then I'm just like, oh wow, I read a book on my list.
You did, yes. Well, or here we go, you learned about a book on your list.
I relearned about it, yeah. That sounds really good.
Yeah, all right. Our next one, some of the ones that we've done have been like, you know, they've been well reviewed, but maybe not as well known. Now, this one I know has got tons of attention. So I debated about including it or not, because I'm like, people probably know about this. But what the heck? I'm including it anyway, because it's also Pride Month. So why not? We'll do this one. It's called Detransition, Baby, by Tori Peters. Oh, my goodness. This is another debut. Another debut. Okay. About three women, transgender and cisgender, whose lives collide after an unexpected pregnancy forces them to confront their deepest desires around gender, motherhood, and sex. Reese almost had it all. A loving relationship with Amy, an apartment in New York City, a job she didn't hate. Seems like a low bar, but is it? I don't know. Okay. She scraped together what previous generations of trans women could only dream of. A life of mundane bourgeoisie comforts. The only thing missing was a child. But then her girlfriend, Amy, detransitioned and became Ames, and everything fell apart. Now Reese is caught in a self-destructive pattern, avoiding her loneliness by sleeping with married men. Ames isn't happy either. He thought detransitioning to live as a man would make life easier, but that decision cost him his relationship with Reese, and losing her meant losing his only family. Even though their romance is over, he longs to find a way back to her. When Ames's boss and lover, Katrina, reveals that she's pregnant with his baby and that she's not sure whether she wants to keep it, Ames wonders if this is the chance he's been waiting for. Could the three of them form some kind of unconventional family and raise the baby together? This provocative debut is about what happens at the emotional, messy, vulnerable corners of womanhood that platitudes and good intentions can't reach. Tori Peters brilliantly and fearlessly navigates the most dangerous taboos around gender, sex, and relationships, gifting us a thrillingly original, witty, and deeply moving novel.
Wow. Another one that sounds like you're gonna walk away with like a little bit of like, I'm glad I read that, but also a little more fun.
Yeah, I'm the stuff about you know, parenthood, I think you're really interesting exploration, and like motherhood versus parenthood, or not versus exactly, but how they intersect and align. Certainly know that people are interested in stories of, you know, transgender relationships and transgender parenting. It sounds great. It is a book written by a member of that community.
Awesome.
So it's a lived experience story. And yeah, I know it's been getting a lot of attention, I think, because it is probably really great.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we have... This is the last one, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. So this one, I've been seeing, I saw it on like a bunch of YA lists and it sounds really cool. And if you're anything like me and you're obsessed with Greek mythology, you might like it. Okay. So this is Lore by Alexandra Bracken. And she also wrote the Darkest Minds trilogy. Yeah.
And she wrote the Passenger duology, which was time travel, and it was really great.
So it sounds like she just bops around to all the different ones, crushing them all. So this sounds one's gonna be great. Okay. Oh, I cannot. I'm back to that old issue where it's like, you cannot minimize Zoom. I know, Zoom. I didn't mean to. Okay. Here we go. Every 7 years, the Agon begins. As punishment for a past rebellion, 9 Greek gods are forced to walk the earth as mortals, hunted by the descendants of ancient bloodlines, all eager to kill a god and seize their divine power and immortality. Long ago, Lore Perseus fled the brutal world in wake of her family's sadistic murder by a rival line, turning her back on the hunt's promises of eternal glory. For years, she pushed away any thought of revenge against the man, now a god, responsible for their deaths. Yet as the next hunt dawns over New York City, 2 participants seek out her help. Castor, a childhood friend of Lore, believed long dead, and a gravely wounded Athena, among the last of the original gods. The goddess offers an alliance against their mutual enemy, and at last, a way for Lore to leave the Agon behind, forever. But Lore's decision to bind her fate to Athena's and rejoin the hunt will come at a deadly cost, and still may not be enough to stop the rise of a new god with the power to bring humanity to its knees. Gonna see some old faces, some new faces in the Greek god world. Like, not very often you can throw in new Greek gods, so pretty exciting. But it sounds really cool. I like the idea of seizing somebody else's power. Like, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And that kind of would also explain, like, I don't know who it, I mean, I'm a big nerd, so there's like the Titans before the original like 12 Greek gods. Mm-hmm. So that could kind of like explain why they all share the same powers, which is, I don't know, I like it. I'm excited and I want to read it.
Well, great, it is now available. I will say, I don't like the cover.
It's a little underwhelming.
It's underwhelming. That's a good word.
Yeah.
It's a little underwhelming. But
yeah,
having said that, the description sounds great.
Right? This is the reason you don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometime. Another theme idea is books that have terrible covers.
Ooh,
but are great.
That's a good one.
It'd be a fun one.
Can't wait for that.
It would be especially fun for the podcast listeners.
Just us awkwardly describing it. Be like, this one features this and these colors.
Forgot for a minute that this is also a podcast in addition to a video show.
That would not be ideal.
Well, no, it wouldn't be ideal. Maybe we'll take that one back to the drawing
board. We'll workshop it. Yeah. Yeah. with that being said, do we have anything else to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then I will just let you all know once again, this is our second last episodes. We have one more episode after this before our 8-week break. Make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast or to our YouTube. We're going to be posting old videos from like last year on the podcast platform. So you'll have new content for those who are on the podcast to listen to until we're back in
the
first week of September.
Yeah.
Yeah. So make sure to like, comment, subscribe, all that jazz. We read our comments. We'd love to hear from you. And find our notes at tbplofftheshelf.com. And we will see you all.
I have one thing I occurred to me. I'm so sorry.
No.
Okay. This I'm sliding in as a note. It's in. Okay. This is also in the show notes. Last week, when we did our mysteries episode, I recommended a book and it was called Sanatorium. And now I'd like to take that rec back because I read it and I didn't like it.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I put it in the show notes as well that I was not a big fan of it. And I'm not going to get into any more detail because we usually do only positive books that we enjoy. But I just have to say, I rank all my books out of 5 stars on Goodreads, and very rarely do I give a book 1 star. And this was a 1 star.
Oh no, we'll have to talk about it after because I'm really curious why.
Anyway, and so my substitution rec is one that was from the earlier mysteries series. But if you want another sort of closed circle mystery with a woman who is a detective, has some trauma from her past, then read Death in the Family.
All right.
In the show notes, you can find the author's names.
Sounds good. That's a good addition. A good addition. All right. And with that being said, we'll see you all next week. Bye.